Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the story of the Ashab al-Kahf, it was around a time that the king became very concerned about his subjects. And the reason for his concern was they scrapped the idea of the hereafter. The hereafter, the life after death, was abandoned. So life becomes right, the life goes correct, proportionate to the belief in the hereafter, proportionate to how much you are convinced about the life of the grave, the day of judgment, so much is your life improved. But if that is no longer a concern, then everything goes haywire. Everything is in a shambles. Nothing is right. So you want the life to come in line, then that hereafter must be like as though you are seeing it. If Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, for example, that you didn't pay the zakat, then it will be a serpent coiled round your neck, it will be biting you. That must be a conviction. Conviction as though you're seeing it. If it's just a thought, well, it's one thing that they speak about, so I'm not concerned about it, then there's no strength in the iman. There's nothing to motivate you, nothing to drive you. So this belief in the hereafter, you'll see it repeated. And this is the element that the kafirs had taken out of their belief. لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ وَيْلُ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. So destruction to the kafir who will not discharge zakat, and he disbelieves the hereafter. But you see how important this belief in the hereafter. He is not discharging zakat, he is connected to him not believing in the hereafter. Had he believed in the hereafter as he is supposed to be believing, then he would have discharged this. But now that belief just became an illusion, an imagination. When it became an imagination, so he's not so particular about it. So the king became quite concerned about his subjects, that they aren't believing in the hereafter, they scrapped that idea. So I ask you, when you scrap the idea of the hereafter, right, is there anything to restrain you now? Anything to hold you back? Then everything is free then. I tell you, there are police on the road, the speed cops on the road, right? They're very strict, and they don't accept any bribery. Fines are exorbitant, nothing less than 50,000, right? And if you don't have the cash, they're jailing you up straight. So if I tell you this, then you're very cautious, right? But I tell you just to bluff you, just to appease you, don't worry about the cops, let's carry on. So when there is nothing that is holding you back, then you will break every law. So this belief in the hereafter puts everything in place. Everything is right. But that belief in the hereafter, the understanding, the conviction of the hereafter must just increase. Right? إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلِهِمْ آيَاتُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِمَانًا. When they hear things about Allah Ta'ala, about the hereafter, then the iman just goes on increasing. So the king had seen his people, his subjects had just lost it. They're not believing in the hereafter any longer. Like you get one group of people who say that the hereafter, all that is just an illusion, just to hold you back. There's no reality in it. It is just to hold you back. So there's no such a thing like the hereafter. So you get a group like this now, like you had it in the past. So that's nothing new. You know, this stupidity is not something of new. So you get that same strain continuing. Whereas then, when you get it continuing now as well, it carries on. So وَوَيْلُ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِهِمْ كَافِرُونَ. Now you want your iman to be right, you want your life to be right, then proportionately believe in the hereafter. So this is why you see, when Allah Pak starts the Quran Sharif, so he speaks of الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They believe in the hereafter. They believe in the unseen. So when you're going to believe in the unseen, then you'll be careful. Allah Pak is watching. And through everything I'm doing, there's going to be a consequence. I'm not going to go free. So you are restraining yourself, you are cautious. And the greater the iman in the hereafter, then the world also becomes an insignificant thing. I made the money, so what? To make the money, so what? So it becomes an insignificant thing. But if that belief in the hereafter becomes weak, then the world becomes a very significant thing. You know, I made so much. And then when you talk to people, people also get impressed. Why is the belief in the hereafter has decreased? When that has decreased, so the thing that is visible, tangible, all your hopes and all your faith is in that which is tangible, if you can see. So if something happens there, man can fall, can collapse, can get into a depression, and go into despondency. You get a situation where a person can commit suicide because everything he's put into that which is tangible. He's left the hereafter and he's deserted the hereafter. The hereafter he's causing a damage, not worried about it. Hindu is namaz, not worried about it. Not particular about his roza, he's not worried about it. He's got himself involved in ghibah, he's not worried about it. He's robbing and cheating, not worried about it. But yes, if there was a dent in the world, worldly matters, then he's very concerned. So that's all indicative of the iman in the hereafter not being like how it's supposed to be. But if that iman in the hereafter was like it's supposed to be, you can't rest. For a moment you can't rest. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had just used one word, a little bit hard word, against Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And immediately he came to his senses, he went to ask him for a maaf. And he's totally restless until Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu has given him maaf. But immediately he came to his senses. And the stories of the Sahaba kiram are lessons for us. They are our guides, lessons for us. So look at his consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, consciousness of the hereafter. One word, he just went off, one word. But until he's not rectified it, he is not at ease at all. Just one word. So you can imagine, well imagine, what must be the level of the consciousness and the awareness of the hereafter. What was it? That for a moment now, he's not feeling easy, just for a moment. Just one word is used. But you see the level of uneasiness. As Aisha radiallahu anha, one small thing, not even a sin, right? But because it is a possibility, and when she reflects over that mistake, right? And we will not even call it a sin, but a mistake. She's crying so profusely that her own scarf becomes moist with water. She's fleeing slave after slave, or 40 slaves, for a small little mistake. But you see, this is for that person who believes in the hereafter, that damage is a damage, the problem is a problem. But who considers that just to be an illusion, an imagination, so that whether he did his namaz or he didn't do it, it's not a significant thing. Whether he did his obligations or didn't fulfill obligations, not a significant thing. Yes, but if the child failed his exams, hey, wasted my money, 50,000 naira, 100,000 naira. So you relate to the things that are tangible, relate to the things that you can see. You don't relate to the akhirat as you're supposed to be relating to. Look at the verse again, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Does the Quran Sharif start off, they believe in the tangible things. They believe in the things that are visible. Starting off, they believe in the things that are not visible to them. You see how the Quran is starting. So it's impressing upon you, just get into this. This is where you collapse. This is where you fall. You don't see it, so you don't understand it. And you're not even taking out the time to think about it. One person came in the course of the week. So you see, I just slip into this wrong porn. I'll just slip in. I can't resist. So I tell him, you see, for about 10 minutes before you sleep, make wuzu and all that, and go in isolation, just for 10 minutes. And think about the scenes of the hereafter. Qabr, those farishtas that are coming for a sinful person, literally they're coming like monsters. Fire shooting out of the eyes. You can't bear their sight for a second. They're coming in such dreadful appearance. It's literal, right? Now you think that you are in that grave and you're not accessible to anything. Nothing is accessible to you. And nothing can access you. You're blocked from all sides. And this is what's going on. And you can't even scream. You can't even ask for help. What's going to happen to you at that moment? So as you think about this, you begin to relate to the reality. When you relate to reality, then you build up your resistance. When you build up the resistance, then you can put the brakes. But you don't think about it, you don't even take out the time to think about these things. I ask you, how many of us don't look at what's the bank balance today? Today what I made, and what was lost, what's the redundant thing, what I need to push. Every day make this up. Hey, you know, this is a reality. I don't want to be in the arrears, you know. I don't want to be owing anybody anything. So that becomes a reality, and you see how much we made for the day. How much we lost for the day. Then again, for the week how much. Then for the month how much, then for the year how much, and hisab upon hisab, we are so much, so particular about it. But I ask you for a moment, we think about the hereafter like that, like how we think about what we see and what is visible to us. Do we think? So this failure is because of this, that hereafter is just an imagination, it's just a thought. You make that a reality and then see what happens to you. Then you are a different person altogether. So that world comes, material comes, is one of those things. It doesn't come, is one of those things. Al-Mu'allim Fazlur Rahman, Ganj Murad Abadi, Rahmatullahi. So, nearly every Buzurg of that time, from the time of Al-Mu'allim Thanvi Sahib Rahman, all these people here, nearly everyone has to go and pay him respect. Everyone. Whoever was in that period, about 100 years ago, everybody would go and pay him a visit. So, Hazrat Mu'a Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh conveyed a message, right? And one of the message was that, Khuluq Muhammadi ko ikhtiyar kare. You must adopt the tolerance and the way of Rasulullah Pakistan, that Rasulullah was tolerant. So, Hazrat Mu'a Fazlur Rahman Sahib, he replied to that. He said, وہاں گنگوں میں بیٹھ کر کے مجھے نصیحت کرتے کہ خلق محمدی اختیار کرے خلق محمدی اختیار کرے دیکھتے نہیں کہ لوگ کیسے لوگ میرے پاس آتے ہیں. He is sitting in Gango, and he is sending the advice to me that I must adopt the character of Rasul Pak Sassum. He is not watching the type of people coming to me. These people that are coming to me, they only ask me for worldly things. Hey, I lost my job. Make dua, I get my job. Is you know, the rentals and the areas must sort it out. India, a lot of people live by the milking of the cow, right? That is not milking now, big dua. So the only concern they have got is the dunya. Who comes to me for the akhirat? So when they're asking about the dunya, they must treat them like the talibud dunya. You know, talibuddin, they are coming here for the dunya, so I have to treat them like that. They're not coming here with a concern of deen. They're not coming here with a concern of the akhirat. They're not coming here with a concern of Allah Ta'ala, consciousness of Allah. They're coming here, dunya is not right. Business is not right. That thing is collapsing. This thing is not working out. And if there's any shukr to make, shukr for the mashallah, I scored so much. You know. How much of barakat Allah gave me. You know. I did this good. So you only relate to that which is visible. What is not visible, you don't relate to it. See what a, you know, what a disaster we are. We have earned something, is disastrous. We are not relating to the realities. So this king was very concerned about his subjects, that they have abandoned the belief of the hereafter. They became casual, until they reached a point that they began to debate, and then after that they just dumped the idea. No such a thing like hereafter. So once you dump the belief of the hereafter, then you will behave exactly like an animal. See, after Isa alayhi salam will leave the world, right? He'll come, right? He will stay here, he'll live about 40 years or something, and then he'll leave. Then after that, there'll be Muslims still, and a breeze will be sent, and that breeze will cause a certain disease in the believers, they all pass away. So there's no believer left. And all the believers have gone, then there'll be just kafirs left in the world. There's no belief whatsoever. Then the hadith says their behavior will be no different to the behavior of animals. So you got some respect. Why? The respect is because of the belief of the hereafter. You're behaving normal. You're behaving like a human being. But there is no belief of the hereafter. Then, no belief at all in the hereafter. Then anything stops you from behaving like how you want. Then you can have a park for nudity. Beaches for nude. Don't you hear about these things here? Absolutely nude. So you can't behave like an animal. Absolutely. So the thing that gives you some respect, some nobility, is the belief in the hereafter. Allah is watching. If something happens to me in this moment now, what will be? I'm watching all these stupid things, right? And something happens to me now, and my children, and I have gone from this world, they'll pick up all my gadgets, and they look into the history, right? And what will happen to me now? What will happen here, and what will happen there? Here I'm left with disgrace and embarrassment, there I'm suffering all in isolation. So when you're thinking like that, you're concerned, you're a different person. The problem comes about where we're disconcerned. People that are looking, they'll make an inventory of myself, and the farishtas that are going to interrogate, I'm not concerned about that. So this king became very much concerned about his people. They forgot, they left it out completely. So he put on rags, ragtag, you know, and went on to soil, dust. He's crying to Allah Ta'ala in sajda. And Allah Ta'ala likes that, you see, when you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're petitioning Allah Ta'ala for total humility. Udu'u rabbakum tadarru'an. Total humility you ask Allah Ta'ala. So your appearance also must be like a beggar. More than your appearance is yourself, you must be like a beggar. One is your appearance is like a beggar, but you yourself, within your heart, you're like a beggar. أنتم الفقراء إلى الله. You say in the dua also that you acknowledging your weakness. فقوين اللهم إني ضعيف فقويني. So Allah likes you to express your weakness. See, when Zakariya alayhi salam is making a dua, he says, إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَزْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. My bones have become infirm. Right? So the first thing that happens in the person is his skeleton becomes weak, his bones become weak. So when his bone become weak, does he have the strength? Because the bone is like the basic structure. You know, you've got these columns and all that, columns and foundation. That's the bone. If that thing collapses, then the whole structure collapses. The rest of it is just aesthetics. But the real thing is the bone. The bone structure. That thing weakens down, the whole thing has collapsed. So when he's making dua, and he's petitioning Allah Ta'ala, Rabbi inni wahana al-azmu minni. So you express your weakness, your inability, your weakness, you express it. The uncertainty of time, the uncertainty of the future, the uncertainty of yourself, that what you, how will you behave the next moment? Do you know what's going to happen? Now you are right, you're sitting in the masjid doing something, but the uncertainty of the future, of your health, of your wealth, of your reputation and respect, do you know anything that is certain? So you express your inability, your weakness. وَهَنَ الْأَزْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. And the white hair has shown on my head, you know. But the strange, how beautiful is the word of the Quran. وَاشْتَعَلَ. إِشْتِعَلَ actually means a fire, you know. Something lighting up, right? Fire lighting up, right? But when you see, when you're lighting up a fire, you see that it starts off with one flame, small little flame. And then the whole thing spreads out. So the white hair also, just one hair. And you see youngsters now, that one hair coming up, so they're hiding in this hair, doing something before the wife or something. Gets to know. Either they're dying the thing or they concealing the thing. But then that's like a fire. How are you going to conceal the thing? That thing starts off one, then two, then three. And before you know it, some in the head, some in the beard, some on the sides, some on the bottom. Everywhere it's coming up. How much are you going to conceal? إِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي. So he says, وَهَنَ الْعَزْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ. Expressing his weakness. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. But in the same breath, he's also praising Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, whenever I petitioned you, Allah Ta'ala, whenever I petitioned you, I never lost. I was never a loser. So he's praising Allah Ta'ala also for his kindness, for his compassion, for his love and consideration, right? But he's also expressing his weakness. So a Nabi is a perfect person. You show your inability, you show your weakness, but not to the point that you become despondent of the compassion, the grace and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. You show you're totally hopeless, but then your hopelessness is not even a drop of water, not a drop in the ocean. The mercy, the kindness, and the love of Allah Ta'ala is far vaster than the ocean, the water of the ocean. Imagine an ocean without shores, ocean without shores, imagine. So that's Allah Ta'ala's, his love, his compassion, his consideration, his mercy, his kindness, so much. So though we are so weak, but yes, our Allah Ta'ala is very kind, very merciful, very compassionate. I just need to petition him, I just need to come on track, and he will pour out his mercies for me, his kindness for me, he will do it. So I must take cognizance of my weakness, but I mustn't lose at all the kindness of Allah Ta'ala, the mercy, the compassion, even if it is 5 minutes before I can die, I mustn't lose it. I mustn't think, just 5 minutes left for me, so how can I make tawbah? No. I got that 5 minutes, let me appreciate that. Maybe Allah Ta'ala will just turn things around. But the same token, if you've been righteous, that 5 minutes left, don't become complacent. I've been good my whole life now, so what? So Allah Ta'ala, I have secured my Jannah. No, don't have that attitude. Then you know what's going to happen in that 5 minutes. So you have to remain between fear and hope all the time. Although with age you'll have more hope in the kindness, in the love, in the compassion of Allah Ta'ala. But that doesn't mean that you must lose out the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise you can start behaving strangely. So you see how this Nabi speaks and how you must commence your dua. One is humility, express your weakness and inability. And number two, also show the praises of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, his kindness, his greatness. On the Shab al-Qadr, don't you say, Inna ka'afoon tuhibbu al-afwa, you praise Allah Ta'ala. Don't you say, Inni zalamtu, you're showing your wrong and your weakness. But also you're not forgetting the kindness and the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. He is ever forgiving. Don't do that. You combine the both. You show your weakness, but you don't lose sight of the compassion, the love and the kindness of Allah Ta'ala. So this king is making dua. That Allah Ta'ala bring about some situation where people begin to relate to the hereafter. And he is the head of the state, so he is most concerned about his subjects. Impressing upon us, you the head of the house, so don't boast. You must be concerned about the home. Is going right or not going right? You try it, now cry to Allah Ta'ala. You have tried them with ta'aleem, etc., etc. But do you also cry to Allah Ta'ala for them? For your responsibilities. There's so many people under you that you in charge of, you responsible of. Do you cry for them? See, Zakariya Alayhi Salaam, he's worried about his people. He's aging up now. He knows that now I'm aging up. And adatan, right? This is now my end of my, the last phase of my life. But I need to know about a succession plan. What's left for them? What are they going to do? See, the succession plan of a Nabi. And our succession plan. Our succession plan, you know, I got one building. So I got I got an anchor tenant. How much is paying? 50,000 then. And 30% increment every year. So I said, I feel too confident. Yeah, I got another 5 properties, man. There's so many people bidding for it. I am secure now. Well. The Nabi is worried about the succession plan of the deen. What will happen? If these children got all the dunya, but they got no deen after that. Kya fayda? What's the good? All the dunya, they got all the brains of the dunya, but they lost out deen, completely they lost out on deen. So what's the fayda in that? So the Nabi will teach you what's life. He will show you what is important. He will show you what you need to run after. And then lucky is the person who takes the cue from the right person. Now we look at Chinsami, Munsami, John and Paul, what they doing, and we begin to think like them, reason like them, behave like them. Then our minds are like them, although outwardly we seem like Ismail and Yusuf. But I ask you, is there no conformity in our brains and their brains? In our minds and their minds? In our thinking and their thinking? Is there any conformity? Is our minds conforming with the thinking of the Anbiya, our real leaders, or these people? They feel we are secure because we got this. So we begin to feel the same way. And then we really will behave that way. We saw nothing. Hey, he's a scrap. He doesn't have anything. So we will recognize the person when he is materially strong. Doesn't have any material, nothing. And even if a kafir is materially strong, then we show respect. But materially he's weak, then we don't show him any regards. So as though that became the cornerstone. I don't say don't have it. Don't mistake. But I'm showing you now, إِذَا أَزَمَتْ أُمَّتِي الدُّنْيَا, as the hadith predicts, that when my ummah will consider the world as a significant thing, زَالَتْ anhum هَيْبَةُ الْآخِرَةِ, that consciousness, that awareness, that haybat of the hereafter will vanish from them, get out of them. Because you consider this to be a very important thing. So how, to the extent that you will consider this to be important, that becomes insignificant, right? But this becomes the most important thing, then that becomes an insignificant thing. Our Ustad Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, so one Englishman asked him, when I look at three of his books, I see the Mujahideen, right? Warriors of Islam, soldiers of Islam. And they're penetrating deep into the ranks of the kuffar. And when I look at the other side, then each person is looking out how to save his own life. Here they're looking in for death. And there they're running away from death. Can you see the picture? They're looking for death. And Khalid bin Walid, when he's on his deathbed, he says, never did I fight so that I must become a hero. I fought, whenever I needed to fight, I fought so that I can become a shaheed. But I go into the dense of the enemy lines, and nothing happens. I go this side, I think I'll get it here. Nothing happens. I go in. Then he says, woe, destruction to that coward person. We used to be longing for this moment. So he's asking Mustafa Rahmatullahi, you people are going in, you all are going into the dens of the enemy lines, looking for death, and all people are running away. He must die, I must be safe. He can die, I must be safe. Like how you see this COVID. Does it happen like that? Alright, he died, we are safe. He can die, we must be safe. Can you see that same mentality playing up? Any different? See, that means we are influenced, we are overwhelmed with that mentality. So he's asking Mustafa Rahmatullahi, but now, why is this type of a behavior in a Muslim? So you haven't understood this. the Muslim is going into the dens of the jaws of death, because he knows that life starts beyond that. Life starts beyond that. So he wants the life to start now. So he's going in, looking where here I can get it. I can get it here. I can get it here. So he's jumping into the thick of it, of the trouble, so that he can start off a new life, start off a pleasant life, an eternal life. And the kafir is running away because he knows it's the beginning of destruction. He knows it's the beginning of damnation. He knows it's the beginning of problems. So he's running away from that. So this king now, he sees this what's happening to his people, and is begging Allah Ta'ala. Now this moment is just coinciding with the Ashabul Kahf just getting up of a sleep of 309 years. They went to fast asleep. And his dua was so powerful, so effective, that Allah Ta'ala accepted his dua at the time that these people just got up from the slumber. Can you see that? He's making dua, he's in sajda, he's crying, ragtag, sajda on the dust. And something must happen, Allah Ta'ala, these people's eyes must open up, that akhirat qiyamat wa anna sa'ata la rayba fiha. So qiyamat is a reality. He's making dua for that. And I just express myself that it becomes the duty of the head of the house, the father, the mother, the husband and the wife. Now you become the head. Now it's your duty. Your duty is not just the animal needs of the child. Animal also is looking for the security of its small, for the food, for security. We're looking at the same. So if our main concern becomes this, then I ask you, is there any difference between you and an animal behavior? Your greatest concern must be what's going to happen to the hereafter. وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ. When Zakariya al-Islam is petitioning Allah Ta'ala, he says, إِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ بِوَرَائِي. Now I'm petitioning you, Allah Ta'ala. My greatest concern is, how is the deeni administration continuing after me? Now I'm old, I've aged up, the last phase of my life, I'm going. Now how is it going to continue? See that. See what his concern is. And what's our concern? And then Allah Pak is commanding us, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي. These are the people that Allah Ta'ala has blessed with guidance to follow in their footsteps. Now you look at the Nabis, and what's their frame of mind? What is in their minds? You see Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, right? Ya baniya inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deen. Last words as they're going on. Ya baniya inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deen. Fala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. See that, that's the last word. And then they're leaving the world. See that, listen, my children, Allah Ta'ala has chosen deen for you, Islam for you. And fala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Your bonding with Islam must be so thick that you must only part with death. What? Your commitment to Islam must be right till the death, right till death. You must not snap at any moment. See, that commitment to the deen, the commitment to Iman must just go on escalating at every moment. Your commitment to deen, your commitment to Iman, commitment to Islam must just go on increasing. As my Iman changed, as my Islam changed, the submission, the level of submission, the level of commitment I'm supposed to give to Allah Ta'ala, is it the same? Or is it just improving all the time? If there's a small domestic problem, I'm worried. Some wrong in the house, something, the wife, whatever, I'm worried about it. But there is an inconsistent pattern in the deen. You're not doing your zikr, not doing your namaz, getting into ghibat, getting into wrong things. Do you show the same type of concern? So in worldly matters, in the worldly front, we are very worried. But yes, about the deen, if there is a collapse, right, Allah Pak is Ghafoor Rahim, he'll see us right. But strangely, Allah Pak is only Ghafoor Rahim for akhirat matters. For dunya matters, do we apply the same maxim, the same concept, do we apply it? No, we have to work, you know, dunya is a reality, I must get this property, get this thing here, then I'll be secure. Do we apply the same thing? So that means really we have drifted. Yaqeen in the hereafter is not like it's supposed to be. That has to be fixed up. And the easy way is give yourself time. 10 minutes before you sleep, right? As you're going to sleep, now you're alone, nobody must be there as far as possible, no phone, nothing to interrupt you. Then think about that moment when you'll be totally alone. Nobody with you, preferably in the dark. In the dark now, there's nobody. But when you're doing these things here, then don't shout, don't grumble, and don't pull up your face. Be humble, just explain them that I got some things to do, some dini things to do. So give me the 10 minutes, please. So they'll understand you're doing something. Now you're going to fight. Hey, you're making a noise. You're disrupting me. So don't do this type of things. See, there must be an atmosphere of happiness in the house. So you're doing something, then let the house people know what you're doing, so they don't have any complaint. You're going to come with a delay, then tell them that I got some work. I'll come at this time. Right? But now don't let that delay be every day thing. Every day I got some work after Isha. So you're such a busy man now, you don't have a time for the wife. So it becomes an everyday thing. Then they begin to become suspicious. Oh, why? Every day. So if there is some work, do it in their presence. If there is some important work, do it in their presence. So they don't feel suspicious about you. So there must be an atmosphere of happiness, love, understanding in the house. Let it not be an atmosphere of hate, disrespect, disregard. Let that not be the atmosphere that covers the house. So this crying of the king coincides with the getting up of these people from their sleep, 309 years. كَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ. Now they're questioning each other, that how long had you been here? قَالَ قَائِلُ مِنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِسْتُمْ. How long? قَالُوا لَبِسْنَا يَوْمًا أُبَعْدِيَمْ. Now they don't know that they have stayed here for 309 years. They're seeing it like this, that, well, we came here, entered the cave in the morning, and we're getting up in the evening. So about half a day or so, three quarter of the day. That we got up in the morning, at about 9 o'clock we went in, and now we're getting up at about 5 o'clock, so it must be about half a day that we were here. قَالَ قَائِلُ مِنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِسْتُمْ قَالُ لَبِسْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْدَ يَوْمًا. Then the brighter person says, رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِسْتُمْ. By, don't you speculate, we don't have conclusive evidence, we don't have clear evidence as to exactly how we live, how long we lived here. When that information is not absolutely clear, then don't make it a subject of discussion. If you got your substance, then you can make a discussion. But you don't have the proper information, then how can you discuss this thing? See that? قَالَ قَائِلُ مِنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِسْتُمْ قَالُ رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِسْتُمْ. Hence now you get the ulama-i-kiram explaining, right? Information can be of different types, two, three different types. So one information is that information that is conclusive. And it is important in deen. It is important in deen. The information that you have got is conclusive, it is clear, categorical. So if it is important in deen, it is conclusive, right? The evidence is absolutely clear, everybody knows about it. And if someone is stumbling, then you must be vocal about it, speak about it. We perform namaz towards the Qibla, right? Northwest, more or less, from where we are situated, northwest, right? Now, if someone is performing namaz in the opposite direction, then do we have that type of an attitude? If I speak to him, he'll feel bad about it. Our relationship will be affected. Should I tell him or not? Do you have that? Why? So it's important, the information that you got about the Qibla is categorical, clear. He is doing the namaz in the opposite direction. I must be vocal about it, saying, but this is the wrong direction, it's not the Qibla direction. Now the sentiments, well, just leave that alone. So that is when the information is absolutely clear, you are absolutely certain about it, there is no doubt about it, there is no difference of opinion about it, it's absolutely clear and categorical clear. So make it known. Then don't become a coward. Say it, salam, salam. by Musliman to Musliman. As the Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah had come to Delhi, very hot day, right? Temperatures are going at about 55, midsummer, you know, peak. And there's a loo. And Hazrat was very fond of cold water, ice cold water. And he just jumped the platform, so he saw one shop selling something like a cold drink, offered the money. So it's a Hindu that's on the other end, and he blanked with no, nahi besta. Mere paas paise, I got the money, buy, sell it to me. No, I'm not selling it, don't sell it to me. So, just then, Hazrat's one friend was there, he came around, says, you know, these people are so biased against Muslims, they don't want to sell me this thing here. So, that friend of his is saying, no, hey, be thankful that he didn't sell you. That was wine. Now, Hazrat couldn't read English, he couldn't read Hindi. So he thought it was a drink. But he thought it was a cold drink. So. But now, you see Allah Pak, how he saves his special elite servants. Hazrat had the money to buy the thing. And that person could have said, I'm making a profit here, right? But when Allah Pak wants to save that servant, Allah Pak saves him in mysterious ways. I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to sell it to you at all. But even a Hindu is saying, by this, aapki kaam ki cheez nahi, not your for you this. He also doesn't feel that I must hold back, I must restrain. Although there is a cash benefit for him, but he knows it's wrong. So I can't sell this to you. So when it's clear, evidence is clear, you know it's wrong, then speak about it, somehow or the other, without causing a fight, putting yourself in trouble. But speak about the thing, this is wrong, don't do this thing. So that is when the evidence is absolutely clear, it's categorical, that you need to be vocal, you need to say it, as it were. Now you get a second situation, where it's your personal opinion, right? It's your personal opinion that a certain thing must be done in a certain way. But that's your opinion, right? And maybe there is some reasoning behind it. Right? Maybe some way or the other it's distantly connected to deen. Not immediately connected to deen, but distantly connected to deen. So it doesn't have an immediate connection to deen. Now for example, there's a big debate carrying on that the masjid carpets should be green in color or grey in color. Must we buy it from Belgium or New Zealand? You know, New Zealand is the largest world's producer of wool. Best quality of wool. There's a big fight carrying on, big controversy. Must it be from New Zealand or Belgium? Right? Must the color be green or grey? Right? Or you may say something, all right, I feel the green is more calm to the eye. And leave it on. وَلَا تُمَارِفِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Just on the surface, just discuss it and leave it on. فَلَا تُمَارِفِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Because if it was grey, right, will you get more sawab? You wanted grey, you're fighting for grey, and they bought the grey. I ask you, will there be more sawab in that? Is there additional significance than reward in that? So why not get into it? Right, there's some brothers that are in charge, two people, let them discuss it, whatever they feel, they will carry on. But now you made it an issue, oh, why they put this thing here? You know, I gave my 550 rand, I gave my 1,000 rand. Why they did this? Now I ask you, is that going to affect your sawab in any way? Is it going to affect your hereafter in any way? So why get yourself involved? The most you get is, you know, I had the final word. You see, me, I call the shots in this masjid, I call the shots. That's all you're going to get. You're not going to get anything beyond that. Your sawab as it is, it's damaged. Your reward is damaged. Your relationship with people has been damaged. But now you see the directive of the Quran Sharif, where it is categorical, clear, something about deen, then you be vocal about it. But it's not about deen. It doesn't relate to your deen. It doesn't affect the reward. It doesn't affect the virtue. Then why must you get involved in that discussion? My mother used to say this, rahmatullah alayhi. But you see, these ordinary people, they didn't have proper deeni knowledge, right? But the brains they gave were great. So she says, a couple of times she said, see, if it's a deeni thing, important, speak about it, be vocal about it. But it's a dunya thing now. One, two times you speak about it, after that leave it. Because it's not going to affect your deen. If it's not going to affect your deen, then don't get deep into it. Right? It's an Eid's day now. so wear this kurta or that kurta, or wear this dress or that dress. Or tell them one, two times, enough now. Yeah, you didn't listen to me, you didn't wear that dress. I made that an issue. Yeah, you do everything, whatever comes to your mind, you don't even consult me. I asked you to buy that car, green color, you bought it a blue color. You never even asked me. So is that an issue? Do you make an issue out of it? So she used to say sometimes, that we don't be careful about these things here. Then these things here, the small things trigger fights. Small little thing, insignificant thing, but it will trigger a fight, right? So the wife's family is saying, look, keep the name Aisha. Husband family is saying, look, keep the name Fatima. So my mother would say, right, what they saying, what other side saying, that good luck, mashallah. We like Fatima, mashallah. But won't that avoid a big trouble? Won't it? No, me, I must call the shots. Then there's going to be some type of ill feeling of that child coming into the world was an occasion of happiness. It's an occasion of happiness. Now you dampened the whole thing. The whole thing is spoiled. Now because of the name. Now the akika is spoiled. The whole occasion is spoiled. Now there's a nikah, right? And one is saying, no, have the nikah after asr. One is saying after maghrib. All right. You want it after maghrib? All right. Although it would be more convenient for us after asr, but no, you be comfortable. After maghrib is good for you, mashallah. But no, I must have it my way. So that first step of that marriage is going wrong. Isn't it going wrong? I know recently there was a situation, there was an incident. They're sitting for the walima now. The husband and the wife now, they've got some different tartibs now. So they just got married now, so they're sitting on one table for the walima. So the husband is asking the wife at the walima table, but I sent that dress for you to dress up with that and come here. Why didn't you dress up with that? Just on that there was an argument, and there and then there was a divorce. End of story. They spent 5 million on that nikah, and one night they bust it up. They must be so brilliant, 5 million they can bust in 1 minute. You see, these insignificant things, things that are not important, doesn't relate to your deen, doesn't relate to your akhirat. Why must you get so deep into it? Alright, you prefer that, and you can see now he's wanting that, but mashallah. And then I don't show even a facial expression of disapproval. Forget a verbal, not even a facial expression of disapproval. I'm happy at heart, my face is also smiling, I'm bright. So, doesn't the whole occasion go right? That whole occasion goes right. You show a good face and good words. قُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي أَحْسَنُ. How beautiful is the directive of the teaching of the Quran. Speak the best words. Show the best face and speak the best words. My time is gone now. I was wanting to give one story just to support this thing here. But no, before you start it, everything is gone. See how important it is. What you are sure about and is important in your deen, it's categorical, there's no difference of opinion, then make a mention of it. When it's not important, it doesn't relate to your deen, not to your akhirat, you expressed your opinion, and left it after that. No, alright, you all decide, you all think best, mashallah, I'll do it, I'll be happy with it. And you showed a good face, you didn't pull up your face. You showed good words, you didn't mince your words, you didn't use inappropriate words. You used good words, and you showed a good face. That whole occasion goes so well. What it required, a little bit of humility, a little bit of you humbling yourself, a little bit. You just humble yourself. That whole occasion goes well. But no, my word must be the last word, final word. You can't have the last say. I must have the final say. What's going to happen? Then your children will look at all the tamasha, all the drama that's happening in the house. Then the children will be watching. This one man came here just now. So, this is this child doesn't want to come home because he feels miserable at home. So I didn't say, I'm wondering now what he's going to say. And I didn't want to ask because I may embarrass the person. So it came out from him, that the husband and the wife, the way they're having it out, he doesn't want to be an accomplice, he doesn't want to be a witness to this. So because his mind is getting all mixed up because of their fights. I said, no, today was cooked biryani. He said, no, it was cooked kebab. So that's about the biryani and the kebab, the fight carrying on. No, you're listening to me. You know, I like, you just do what you like. You don't even make any consideration for me. no respect for me. But I'm asleep in this house. So small little things, and shaitan incites trouble. So alright, you like kebab, mashallah. Hey, what a kebab this is, man. Can't you make it a joyous occasion? Can't you just make it a, just turn it out, make it a joyous occasion? Can't you do it? Just a little bit of adjustment and it becomes a joy. But now you want to make it a fight. You want to make it a fight, it becomes a fight. But if you look at it, you know, you look at the merit of it, it doesn't warrant an argument, a fight, it doesn't warrant. Just listen to them, keep that atmosphere. And my mother would say sometimes that when you get this right, then there are the chances for you to allow the deen to prevail in that house. Because now they're seeing that, alright, whatever you want, whatever they want, they're getting. Now you can talk about deen, alright. And you get the children to read the Quran Sharif at this time. Namaz, see, before the azan is called, the wuzu is done. The wuzu is done before the azan is called. As the azan is called, straight away, they are doing the namaz. Right? They're going to be dressing up like this. So all deeny things you are telling them. Because for the dunyavi convenience, you are giving in. Alright, paint the house like this, alright, paint like that. Put this tile here, alright, put that tile. So you gave them the tile and the paint. You see. But now when the deeny thing comes, now they're listening to you. Because you gave in so much, now deeny things, you have got a right now to speak about deeny things. I ask you, isn't that a bargain? You've given in some small things, you gave in. So now, it was an occasion, so she called her friends, alright. Your family wasn't called. So don't make it a story now. Some other occasion, call your family and make them happy as well. Only you, your family and you. You and your family. My family is like kachara. So you can make it a story, you can make it a fight. But you can cover it also. There's a nice way to cover it up. Easy way to cover it up. Think about it. You're going to shout, you're going to fight, you're going to scream. The small little children that are listening to all this. Either they get into a depression, or they lose respect for their parents, or you left a legacy for them. That, see, you must fight also, like how we fighting. But I say, all three ways you lost out.